Count my blessings till they really high. What a life I've been seeing, we could really die. It be looking good in pictures after we be crying. Make me think of how it feels to crucify Messiah. Yes, you are from Adonai and he been Elohim. David, sing a song for me like 51. A 23 and the one that I've been sent to be. Foreign language, what you're talking don't make sense to me. Heart beating, I've been praying for a steady one. Registration, I've been pinning as a ready one. I've been thinking that the last boss already come. And I've been thinking in the last days, the game ends. Then back to one.
Got my blessings to the really high.
What a life.
I've been seeing we could really die.
You be looking good in pictures
after we be crying.
It made me think of how it feels. We can call him, yes, you are from Adonai.
Sing a song with me like 51.
And I've been turning into something
I've been sent to be.
Talk my language, what you're talking don't make sense to me. Open my eyes.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Gifted Connection Podcast. I'm hoping that you're off to a good week, and that you're killing and crushing your goals, and that you're making some changes. You're edging away at some of the plans of 2021. I'm hoping that all of your prayers are being answered, your relationships are intact, and that you are in touch with you. And so if you listen to the last show, I touched on the Joshua codes, and I went into how Joshua was about to be next. He was about to come after the great Moses. And I talked about letting go of your will and how you have to take on God's will, because we come here with our own ability to choose and have free will. And so I don't ever want to move past something without, you know, teaching all of it. But we do have free will, and that's a thing we don't really discuss. That sometimes free will messes us up when free will runs into God's will for our lives. And that's kind of what I see when we look at Joshua. He's a character that we love to preach about. We really don't find a lot wrong with him. He's victorious. In most stories, you're going to have one of the three. You're going to have victims, villains, and victors. And Joshua, he's a victor. He wins. He conquers Canaan. He's known for Jericho, things like that. He crosses Jordan, and so he's more victorious. We don't look at him as a villain of scripture or a victim to certain things, but he has his story, and I think his story really starts with the charge. And so today, just looking at that text, you know, when we looked at God's charge to him, God's pep talk. And I've always wondered, like, what would life be like if God could just give me a pep talk every time I'm about to face something I've never faced before? Every time I see something that I've never seen before, the Jordans in my life, the Jerichos in my life, the Canaans in my life, the Moseses in my life. What if God just gave me that pep talk like he did Joshua? And then I realized a lot of times God is speaking and we're not listening, and he speaks through his word. The same pep talk that he gave Joshua, he's still giving us today. The same encouragement that he gave, an instruction that he gave, he's still giving that to us. That's what the Bible is for. And so I'm always looking for ways to see how I can see God in my now, based on what he was and who he was to the characters in scripture. And so today I just want us to kind of think about what it's like for us when we're next. You know, when you're next, what does next feel like? Because I believe that it's easy for everybody to want to be next, and everybody to want to be on the scene. Everybody's arrived. Everybody wants the next big thing. Everybody wants to be out front. But next is costly. Being next is scary. Being next causes anxiety. Being next requires you to move forward from things you might not be ready to move from. Being next causes you to have to put some feelings aside and go be a victor. Being next is challenging. And when you look at scripture, I want you guys to train yourselves to kind of think, what are the characters facing and what are they going through? And so in your life, there's going to be a season where you're next. There's going to be a time where you're next. And so let's just explore, what does being next feel like? I want you, if you have space to do this, if you can write this down, write down, I'm next. Write down, I'm next. If you have a phone, type it in your notes, I'm next. Text it to yourself, I'm next. Post it on Facebook, I'm next. And I don't mean you're next in line for a miracle, you're next in line for a blessing, but you're next as far as opportunity. You're next as far as influence. You're next as far as promotion. There is a season in your life where people will actually look to you, depend on you, and need you. And if not people, God. In this text, Joshua is God's choice. Joshua is next on God's list. Israel didn't pick him. God did. And so there is a season that God has predestined you for, and you're next. But being next isn't always celebratory. Being next, it doesn't come with these feelings of excitement. Sometimes it's fear, which is why God said, be strong and be courageous, because being next requires courage. Being next requires strength. Why? Because being next usually means you're next in a position or in a season or in a moment you've never been before. Being next requires you to be new. And we all know what it's like to be new. We all know what it's like to face something we haven't faced before. And being new isn't so much a bad thing. Being new is a scary thing, because if I'm new to it, I don't have the weapons for it. If I'm new to it, I don't know how to fight it. Joshua is about to do something that Israel is not very, very, very skilled at. And that's fighting in a land where they don't know how the opposition is. Remember, they would send out spies to try to go see what it was like. They would send out spies and realize we don't measure up. They always had to strategically and secretly go out and try to look at an enemy and think about it, because military warfare wasn't their skill set. Okay, they were slaves for years, and then they've been wandering for 40 years. They've been wandering for quite some time. They've been tested in a wilderness season where they've only had God. And when you're next and you're coming out of a season where you've only had God, it's scary. It's scary when you're next and you're coming into your own. It's scary when you're next and you realize, man, I don't have the tools. Being next without the tools is scary. And all of us have been there. Our whole lives, we've been groomed to be next. From my childhood on, especially to my young brothers and my young men, we were groomed our whole life, whether we knew it or not, to be next. We were going to be the leader someday. We were going to lead the families. We were going to lead our girlfriends and our wives, our daughters, our churches. We've been groomed to be next. And at some point, it's like the world just, I don't know, you get 18 and they say, here, Joshua. And you're supposed to have all of the tools and have all of the knowledge and have all of the wisdom to know how to be next. All I did was get older. All I did was turn 18. All I did was go to college. And just, you know, voila, all of a sudden I'm next. I'm next because of my age. I'm next because I don't live at home anymore. I'm next because I have a girlfriend. I'm next because now I'm proposing. I'm next because now I have a wife. Or I'm next because I became a father. Being next without tools, though. See, Joshua was next, but God told him to remember everything that Moses had taught, everything that he had learned. And God won't place you in a next season without tools. So you're next. And when God promotes you, understand that you're equipped. You might not feel ready. You might not want to do it right then. It might hurt you, like it hurt because Moses had died, right? We talked about this. It hurt because you have to be next without certain people. It's tough when you're growing up and then you lose your parents. It's tough when, you know, you don't have the teaching that somebody else got, or you didn't get the college degree that somebody else got, or you didn't, or, you know, you were abandoned, you were adopted. You didn't get the same, the hand you were dealt was different. You got a different hand, a different deck of cards. You're playing a different game, and you're next. But God, when God promotes, he promotes you as next, and he's going to make sure you have the tools. But we have to face it. Being next hurts. It's fearful. It can be a joy and a pain. Being next isn't always what people think. We live in this social media driven society where everybody's pushing a brand, everybody's pushing a business, they're pushing a concept, their influencers popping up everywhere, everybody's an expert. People are making that looking next is something that we're supposed to grab for and reach. It looks desirable. But a lot of people who've never been up next, truthfully, they don't know like the fear and like the worry and the anxiety that comes with it. They don't know that the loss comes with it too. They don't know that you're going to need godly people around you to do that pep talk and give you what you need. They don't know. First time parents, what is it like being next? Single mothers, what is it like being next? Young fathers, what is it like being next? When you 20, 21, 25, we've never done this. What is it like being next when you're coming off of a bad season and you go into harvest? So this last season didn't work out, but I stopped, I planted again, and now my new harvest is coming and it's my season to reap. But I've forgotten how to be next. I've forgotten how to reap. What is it like when you're coming off a divorce and you want to try to date again, or you're coming off a bad breakup and you want to try it again? You're next. And being next isn't always what it seems. But when God calls you, when God chooses you, when God directs you, when God pushes you in that direction, he believes in you. And so when you write this decree down, I'm next. When people ask you how you're doing today, I'm next. Believe that God believes it. Believe that God wouldn't put you in a position where you would have to worry about the mentality or the belief factor or the provision of being next. When God calls you, you're next and that's it. You're next and that's it. Okay? Not only do we look at Joshua as being next, but we need to also look at what's up next for Israel. Okay? Wilderness was a season, but so is conquering. And sometimes different seasons require different people to be out front. Let me say it again. Sometimes different seasons require different people to be out front. Moses was good for Exodus. Moses was good for deliverance. Moses was the man who groomed you in the wilderness. Moses was good for building up your trust. Moses taught you how to honor the word. Moses taught you how to respect God. Moses taught you how to honor leadership. He taught you how to face your pharaohs. He taught you how to part your Red Seas. But conquering is different. Conquering requires a Joshua. Conquering, it requires a Joshua. That's a tongue twister. but to be a conqueror, you're going to need a Joshua. That's better. Okay? So remember this. You're up next because it's the season that people need you. It's the season where God is about to expose your gifts. It's the season where God is about to show you what he created you for. It's the season where God is about to promote you. You've been working for them and under them, but in this new season, it's going to require something that they can't give. It's going to require something that they don't have to offer. It's going to require something that their clock has run out. What they taught, Israel already got. What Moses was teaching, Israel got it. And so God has you as next because you're needed for now. Write this down. I'm next and I'm needed for now. I don't know how you're feeling right now, but this is good to me. This is getting me excited. Just writing these things down and looking at them. I'm next and I'm needed for now. So it's not about what my daddy did or what he didn't do, what my mother did or what she didn't do, what my teachers did or what they didn't do. People in the last season of my life, I have to take whatever happened. I have to take whatever lessons. I have to take whatever experiences and understand that I needed all of them for now. Do you realize that you needed your Exodus and your wilderness for what God is about to use you for now? Joshua is dated to be born shortly right before the Exodus. So he's a baby during that part, and he grows in wilderness. So he's kind of gotten the old experience, but he's really grown up where they don't really own anything and they don't really have anything. This is important, because if he's growing up and his childhood is spent in wilderness, when you start talking about conquering a land and crossing Jordan and knocking Jericho down and getting all this land that God has promised everybody, this is the first time that people his age are going to see ownership. And an old head like Moses, somebody who was there at Red Sea, somebody who was there in Egypt, somebody who was right there, who talked to Pharaoh, they're not the ones doing it with us. Only Caleb. like Caleb and Joshua, only these two. But everybody else doesn't really have the experiences that Joshua has because of his birth and then his adolescence spent in wilderness. So your experiences count. But when you look at it, God tells Joshua, not only are you next, but you're finally about to take a people who have never had anything. Okay? You're about to take a people who were born in wilderness and show them what it feels like to be owners. And I'm using you, somebody who's been in wilderness just as long as they have, but you were connected to one of the elders. And I'm saying this really because if you're next, you're always going to have to use some form of education from the elders. Every tradition isn't bad. Every teaching from your parents and grandparents isn't bad. Every time there's a generational gap between boomers and X and Z and millennials and all of these things, what the old people had to endure, they had to endure for themselves and their generation, but it has some form of educational value for us. Moses, although not going to see the promised land, Joshua is taking his advice and taking his teaching. Okay. So people who are next, people who are needed for now, what have you learned that you can take? What have you learned that you can take? What did you learn from the last job? What did you learn from the last marriage? What did you learn from your first child? What did you learn from the last relationship? What did you learn from the failed business? What did you learn in the prior season? What did you learn from childhood that really stuck out for now? I pull out so much from my childhood that helped me just in navigating certain seasons of my life, whether it be work, business, or relational. I saw my parents and I said, oh, my mama said that, or my daddy said that, or this is what, man, I was able to morph myself into, I think, a better man just in a span of, you know, my early 20s to my late 20s, just off of saying, okay, I saw this and I need to do this. I was able to take the experiences of my parents, my father, and these other people that I was around, and say, this is who I have to become, and I'm going to use this to do it. Because when you're next, you're going to have to always reach back. But let's be fair. Being next, it requires us to look at all of these factors. Why am I needed for now? Why me? You struggle with self-doubt. Like, be strong and be courageous. When you hear that to a person that's about to be next and about to take a whole nation of, like, Joshua is responsible for a nation. This isn't like Joseph when it was just one family. They're a nation of people now, millions. Okay, they repopulated in Egypt, something serious. So they go from when it was Joseph and just 72 people to millions now, and Joshua's the head of all of them now. And being next and being responsible in your season of next, when you're needed for now and you realize, man, I'm responsible for all of this, that's scary as well. That's scary as well. So I want us to kind of adapt. What is he going through? Why is God having to give him this pep talk? Why is God having to give him this pep talk about being next and being needed for now and leading people who've never seen something like that? It's hard to be next when you're the only one hearing from God. Ah. God gave Joshua this pep talk. He didn't give it to Israel. It's hard to be next when you're the only one hearing from God. Write that down. I'm next. I'm needed for now. And God only spoke to me. Nobody else knows that I needed that pep talk. Nobody else knows that God told me to be strong and courageous. Everybody else is getting to grieve, and I'm getting a charge from God. Everybody else is crying. Everybody else is saying, what are we going to do? Everybody else gets to be in a space where they can be sad, where they can wait on the next leader. But I have to be responsible for the grieving while I grieve. It's tough being next when you don't get the privileges and the rights that everybody else get. It's tough being next when I'm hearing from God and they're not. So I know what's needed, and I just got to trust that they hope that I heard from God the right way. It's tough being next in ministry. It's tough being next when you're the preacher. It's tough being next when you're the pastor. It's tough being next when you're the leader. It's tough being next when you're the father. It's tough being next when you're the husband. It's tough being next when you're the boyfriend, and she just expect you to know it, and you got to know it. But I'm here to tell you, you have enough. You are enough. You don't need any more. You know, God didn't even give Joshua any tools. He said, go with what you learned. See, people who are next, you have to learn that whatever you need is already inside of you. And whatever you don't have, he said, trust that I'll give it to you. People who are next, this is what I need you to do. Just walk. God told Joshua in this pep talk, in this charge in Joshua chapter 1, if you read it, he said, wherever your feet touch, he said, I'll be right there with you. God was so smooth with what he said. He said, wherever your feet touch, I'm going to be right there. Okay. He said, wherever you, in verse 3, he said, wherever you set your foot, you will be on land I've given you. Which means if you keep walking, I've already touched that ground. I've already promised you that ground. People who are next, you have to walk. And I'm here to tell you, that's a tough thing when you're next and you're walking into uncharted territory. When you're walking into a place you've never been exposed to, when you know enemies are on the camp, when you know your enemies know the land better than you do, when you don't know the lay of the land, when you don't know left from right. And God is saying, if you just walk, I'm there. Being next and being ready for now, being needed for now, I'm next and I'm needed for now. I want you to trust me and trust my voice in this season. If you listen to this podcast all the time, please trust my voice. Just walk. Just walk. How you keep the movement alive is to move. The things that I have lost, the things that have died in my life, it was in seasons where I was so scared to walk because I was scared to make the wrong move. I knew I was next. I knew that people were dependent on me. I knew I was needed for now, but I was so stuck because I didn't realize that God had already gone ahead of me, and I just needed to walk. I just needed to walk. And walking by faith is tough. What he's telling Joshua to do is, he's telling him, you're next and you're going to have to walk. Joshua, you're next, but you're going to have to just walk and trust that whatever your feet are, I've already set that ground up. That's ground I promised your great, great, great. That is what I promised Abraham. So it's yours. You have to believe that you're walking on your own land. You have to believe that even though there's an obstacle, you're supposed to be here. That's what he's telling Joshua. Please just believe that no matter what happens, believe that you're supposed to be here. Can you do that for me? Can you walk and believe that I'm supposed to be here? People who are next, The feeling of just knowing that you belong here. The feeling of worthy. I was listening to it was Charlamagne the God and T.D. Jakes. It was about 2 years ago. And I think Charlamagne asked T.D. Jakes, like, what was the biggest thing that he thought people struggled with or something like that. And T.D. Jakes said, getting to worthy. He said, getting to worthy is the biggest thing for most people. Most people don't believe that they're worthy. And Joshua, who's just struggling with the death of his mentor, the death of his leader, the death of his pastor, the death of his friend, the death of his father figure, is next because God said he's next, not because Israel said he's next, but God said, here's your time. And God just throws him into it at the same time everybody's grieving, at the same time things are going wrong, at the start of a season change. God throws him into it and says that you're next. And I need you to be strong. I need you to be courageous. I need you to meditate on the law. I need you to understand this and understand that and walk with me. But what if Joshua didn't even feel worthy? See, these are things that go through our head when God calls us, and people think that everybody who's out front, they wanted this life. People think that everybody that's called to people, they wanted this life. I can tell you, when you're called to certain people, sometimes you deal with what you know. And you say, man, I know all of this and I know how to help you, but I'm struggling in my own life. I don't even feel worthy. And what God is saying is, you don't have to be, you don't have to feel like you're worthy for me to think you're worthy. And gifted family, I'm here to tell you, you're worthy. You are if you're next and needed for now, you're worthy. And I don't want you to spend time getting to worthy. I used to do that. I used to spend time and, okay, I got to be this kind of man. I got to have this. I got to do this first. And certain people can make you feel like you're unworthy. I'm sure Joshua dealt with it. Well, you know, he ain't old enough. Well, he ain't got this kind of experience. He ain't never crossed no water before. At least Moses knew how to do the Red Sea. I don't know if he know how to do Jordan. I don't understand why God can't just pick somebody else. I don't understand. I mean, I know he worked with him, but he ain't worked with him like that. We see people can keep you from feeling like you're worthy, and you can do it too. And I've wondered this for years. Did Joshua feel worthy? But I'm here to tell you, you are. God wouldn't call you and put you there if you wasn't worthy. But you don't want to psych yourself out and talk yourself out of things. A part of being courageous and being strong is you telling yourself mentally, not just physically, but mentally, I'm strong enough and I'm courageous enough to do it when I don't feel worthy. This is why God gives him the charge. God could have sent word through somebody else, but God spoke to him so he could understand that he was God's choice and he had God's support. And how you get to worthy, in my opinion, is you have to understand when you have the support of God, and that may be all of the support you have. You might not have the support of the nation. You might not have the support of the multitude. It might just be a few good men around you that believe in you, but you're worthy because God chose you. You can do this. People who are needed for now, you can do this. Okay. And so another thing about being next, people don't realize that. You know, we talk about cycle breakers. I'm going to break the cycle. I'm going to end the curse, but I'm going to break the cycle. I'm going to break the chain. Well, whenever you break a chain or break a cycle, somebody has to start a new one. And so right now, the cycle of wilderness is breaking, but the season of conquering has just started. And so being up next means I have to lead a new cycle. Breaking a cycle sounds fun. It sounds cool in a status. It looks good on a t-shirt. It sounds cool when you tell you, I'm going to break the cycle, and you pray, I'm going to break those chains and release those chains. But people who are next realize, if I break a cycle, I'm responsible for starting something new. If I break a cycle of what my granddaddy did and what my daddy did, now I'm responsible for the new one. And responsibility to the person who's next can weigh heavy on you. And so when I talked about the Joshua codes, I just gave you a glimpse on last episode. Go back and play it if you haven't played it. I just gave you a glimpse on what it's like to just put your will down. But that's just one aspect of it. To put your will down and say, okay, it's not Moses, it's me. It's hard to accept, but I'm going to accept it. I wish he could live forever, but he can't. I wish he could have shown me how to do this one. Did anybody ever think about that? Like, Moses has shown Joshua everything up to this point, and the biggest thing he's about to face, he's not here. Have you ever had to do things with people not being there who you thought would be there? It's like, man, I'm at the peak of my career. I'm at the peak. I'm about to reach my goals. I'm getting success now. Or I'm scared because it's a big moment. Not a success, but really I'm up against something big in my life, and the big person to me isn't here. This is why he gets the pep talk. And so what Joshua realizes is the cycle of wilderness, or the season of wilderness, the season of us not being owners, is about to end. But who's responsible for the new cycle? People who you are needed for now, because you're about to start a new cycle. You're needed for now because you're about to start a brand new cycle. And that is heavy. Okay, we talk about chain breakers. I want to coin a new term. Okay? Cycle carriers. Within you, you carry the start to the new cycle. So write this down. I'm next. Number two, I'm needed for now. And number three, I'm a cycle carrier. Within me, I carry the wisdom, I carry the understanding, and I carry the power to start a new cycle for my family, for my friends, and for my legacy. That's the people after you. Okay? So you're a cycle carrier. How does that feel? How does that feel to say that when somebody says, "Who are you?" And people usually name, you know, "Oh, I'm this and this, and I'm from here, I'm here." The next time somebody asks you who you are, just tell them, "I'm next. I'm needed for now. And I'm a cycle carrier." Okay? I carry within me the knowledge. I carry within me the wisdom. I carry within me the understanding. I carry within me the power to start a new cycle for my family, for my friends, for the kingdom of God, and for my legacy. I carry within me the new cycle. When the devil sees you coming, he should say, "Dang, they got the new cycle in them." And I'm here to tell you, this is another thing. This is why you have to be strong and courageous, because when you're up next, you're the devil's target. I can count at least three occasions in my life where I realized I was up next and everything was on me, and the devil tried hard to get me to not believe in myself, to not be worthy, or to distract me, or to think I was high and mighty, or to think I could conquer every temptation, to think I had the answers for everything. When I wanted to be next and realized, okay, it's on me. I gotta do it if it's gonna get done. I gotta save it if it's worth saving. I have to be the one to make this crucial decision. It lives on me or it dies on me. If I'm gonna keep it intact, it's on me. And the devil said, if he's next, I'm after him. I don't want to just gas you up and psych you up and hype you up and rah rah and wooty woot you, and then when you're next, you don't think you're under attack. Just because you're a cycle carrier, don't you think the devil he doesn't want to destroy you. He wants to destroy the cycle you're about to start. Doesn't really care about you. He cares about what's inside of you. He cares about the potential. He cares about what you're about to release. It's not you. See, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is a spiritual warfare, and in a spiritual battle, it's about what your spirit is going to produce. I said you're a cycle carrier, and you have within you the power to carry a new cycle for your legacy. If the devil takes you out, he gets the legacy. If the devil can keep Joshua from being strong and being courageous, if he doesn't meditate on what Moses taught him, if he doesn't meditate on the law day and night, if he doesn't keep God first, if he doesn't walk with God, the devil actually can keep him from conquering. And it is not about Joshua, just like it wasn't about Moses. It's about God's plan. And the plan was that God would give Israel this land, and they would multiply, and they would be a nation, and they would honor him, and they would serve him, and they would be a nation that loved God. This is a part of God's plan. Cycle carriers, let me tell you, you carry within you God's plan. And so what you're going to have to do is understand that if I'm next, if I'm needed for now, and if I'm a psycho carrier, I have to, yes, be strong and courageous. I have to understand that being next is scary. Being next is fearful. Being next can hurt you. Being next can make you feel unworthy. Being next can be scary when the people, you're not their choice. Being next and not being someone's choice. Being next and not knowing what to do. Being next and not knowing the tools. Being next and realize I'm responsible for the success or failure of those that come behind me. I'm next because God called me. All of this is what Joshua has to face in Joshua chapter 1 before any war pops off, before anything pops off at Jericho, before any of the commands are given, before you get the land of promise, before you get what God has called you to have, before you get to more, before you get to greater, before you get to the next dimension and the next level, before it gets better for you, you're going to have to face the fact that you're next. Don't hang your head when you're next. Walk tall, walk proud. Understand that what's inside of you is the next cycle. Understand that the things of the past and the leaders of the past, you can grow from it, you can learn from it, you can use it, but you're next. It's your voice, Joshua, that they're going to hear. It's your voice that they're going to listen to. It's your voice that's going to tell them when to march around and when to march around and when to march around so Jericho can fall. If you're going to knock walls down in the next chapter, you're first going to have to understand in this season of your life that you're next. Before the walls come down, you're next. Before your feet cross Jordan, you're next right now. And so you're going to have to walk around saying this and declaring this and understanding what it feels like to be next. Be strong. Be courageous. Trust me. Walk with me because you're next. Be blessed.